Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood Tuesdays at 8.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
So every week we get to talk to Bert Breer. We go around the league. We get his perspective on our Bears. And he joins us now from SI.com, NFL Network. He's tapped in like nobody's business. Bert, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
We're doing well. So every week I check all the different prognostications from all the national know-it-alls. Oh, Detroit's going to win the division. The Bears are terrible. They're dead last. Oh, Bears beat Detroit? Well, Detroit's not very good. You'll get your lunch in Atlanta or the Giants, or you're going to get your lunch when you play Tom Brady, or you're going to go to Carolina where they won three in a row and they're going to beat you. And all of a sudden, they're sitting there at 5-1. So what is your perspective on our Bears as they keep stacking wins?
We're going to find out a lot about them in the next months. just looking at the schedule, guys, we get to see them play the Rams on Monday night, the Saints, the Titans, the Packers, and that's all between now and the 1st of December. So, I think this is sort of where the rubber meets the road for them. I think the good news is it looks like a team that knows how to win, which is an important thing because so many games in the NFL are decided by 7 points or less. The defense, I think, without question, has the ability to be dominant. I mean, they look very, very imposing physically up front. I think Roquan, is really sort of starting to morph into the player they thought he'd be. And so I don't know if they get to the level they were at 2 years ago defensively, but I think they can get close. And then I think a lot of this is going to boil down to where they go offensively. And, to me, that could be the difference between them being a real contender when they get to the playoffs or just being a fringe playoff team. And so I think a lot of that's going to boil down to, how the offensive line holds up. And then, seeing how Nick Foles evolves now, he's entrenched as a starter. And I think also, the sort of interesting part about this is that you got a couple rookies now that I think are going to be able to contribute in some way. The question is how much, and that's Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney. So I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. And I just think, you sort of look at the offense in general. I know it sounds like that's simplifying it, but the offense in general kind of, as a swing factor in whether or not this is a team that, is battling for the sixth or the seventh seed, maybe in, maybe out, and then probably a first-round exit from the playoffs, and somebody who can really contend in January.
Albert, how do we assess the Packers-Bucks game? Is it that the Bucks are figuring things out offensively, or the Packers just underachieving against another good team again?
I don't know, guys. I mean, I really was sold on the Packers, so I feel like I don't know what to think after watching that on Sunday. That was not good. And, I think one of the things that I take from it, from a Packers perspective, is that they just, once the game sort of got away from them, they couldn't. You start to wonder if they're a little bit of a front runner. Can they play from behind? What does it look like when, they don't have the whole thing under control? From the Bucks perspective, guy, that is a more well-rounded team than I think a lot of people gave them credit for. And, we've focused a lot on Brady and the passing offense over the first month and a half of the season. That defense has potential, I think, to really kind of be there at the end as one of the three or four best defenses in all of football. And it makes sense when you look at the guy who's coaching him, and Todd Bowles, who's been, the coordinator for a bunch of really good defenses over the last decade. And then, you just look at the personnel, and they've got, young players they really believe in, guys like Carlton Davis, and then, mainstays, guys who've been around for a long, long time, and JPP and Ndamukong Suh, and then, linebackers who look like, look like they could be the centerpieces, and Lavonte David, who obviously has been around a long time, and Devin White. So I just think, if you look at where Brady's at, they look like they can run the ball. They look like he can play defense. And once the group around Brady that he's throwing to, your Mike Evans, your Chris Godwin. Once those guys get back to where they're 100%, it does look like the ceiling is very, very high for Tampa.
Talking to Albert Breer, he is a regular with us every Tuesday at 8 a.m. So as you look at the NFC, and now there's an extra playoff team, I know Kansas City or Pittsburgh is the favorite coming out of the AFC. How would you grade the field of the NFC? Because the NFC East has as many wins combined as the Bears do right now.
Yeah, that's a great stat. I didn't know that. That's pretty crazy. I think it's wide open, you know, and the reason I say that is because, last week at this time, I would have given you guys the Packers as the number one team in the NFC, maybe the number one team in the NFL. They just got it handed to them. The Bucs, I think we saw their potential. I still wouldn't count out the Saints. A lot's going to ride on how much Breeze has left when we get to December and January, but there are a lot of good players in that roster. Seattle, is explosive offensively, but I think they've got as many defensive problems as they've had in a long time under Pete Carroll. So, I have a hard time looking at it and saying they're the favorite. I pulled up the standings as we were talking here, and the Bears would be the number two seed right now, which is kind of crazy, So I still think, I think coming into the year, I would have said that the NFC was the stronger of the two conferences. I'm not so sure anymore. I look at the top of the AFC and teams that have been rock solid, and the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Titans, and I just look at the top teams in the NFC, and every single one of them has an instance where they've laid an egg or they haven't looked very good and has, as a result, serious questions to answer. So I think it's wide open.
Cap and I both agree that doubleheaders on Mondays, that works for us moving forward.
Awesome.
I hope the league looks into that. Is nothing wrong with that, the doubleheaders on Mondays?
Well, I'll tell you this, guys. I will say this. I don't think we're done with that. I can tell you that the league has talked to the networks, has talked to like the radio broadcast partners of the teams, to the teams themselves. And they said, make sure you're ready for this because we could have more Monday and Tuesday games going forward over the rest of this year, because that's where we're going to move them if we have to postpone games. And so, I don't know if it's any I don't know if this is going to wind up being a long-term thing, but I do think we're going to probably get at least a few more of these over the course of the rest of the season, because that's really the plan right now, is to, if they have to postpone games, that's where they're going to move them.
What resonates with you most about Monday night's games?
It's just how bad Dallas looked. And this isn't like a mistake anymore. You know what I mean? It's hard not to connect the two things where when you watch, when you watch the way that they played over the first 5 weeks of the season and the way Dak bailed them out against Atlanta, the way Dak bailed them out or almost bailed them out against Cleveland, the way that they came back in a lot of those games, and then you see it last night and they fall behind and then that's just it. You know what I mean? That was just sort of the deal. And so it's hard not to look at Dallas and say, was Dak the reason that they've even been competitive, And they have the comeback win against the Falcons. They have the comeback win against the Giants. And they show a lot of fight against the Browns and Seahawks. But if you take Dak out of the equation, is this just who they are? So I just thought how flat they looked, how disorganized they looked. Mike McCarthy has a lot of work to do, because it does not look like things have gotten better as a result of going from Jason Garrett to him.
As you look at the trade deadline around the corner, and I tried to make this case with the guys yesterday, tomorrow's promise to no one. That's a great metaphor in life. Well, the Bears so far today are blessed with a 5-1 record, a great culture, great health other than James Daniels. You don't know what happens next year. You're going to have 10 guys on injured reserve. So do you think there is somebody out there they could go get, be it another receiver, be it an offensive lineman they desperately need? Is there somebody that a team up the track said, all right, we want to move that money and we'll take a lower pick, we're in? Do you see that happening?
If the Bears are going to go get help, I would say it almost have to be on the offensive line. I just I don't know where that's going to come from is the only issue. If you look across the league, most teams only have one layer of players at that position. It's very, very hard to find good teams that have, like, really solid depth. Like, in fact, I'd say one team that, like, is okay in that area is the Tennessee Titans. And they just lost, you know, Taylor Lewan, so you can forget about making a phone call to them. There are very few teams that I think have, you know, four good tackles, that have three good guards. It just doesn't exist across the NFL right now. And, you know, even if you go to, like, some of the bad teams, right? Like, let's use
the Jets as
an example, right? Like, so say you want to go get George Fant from the Jets, right? And you call and you offer a pick. Can the Jets afford to do that to Sam Darnold, who's already hurt, who, when he gets back in there, like, he's gotten the crap kicked out of him. You need to get a clean read on him, right, because he's going to have a high pick again. Like, can you afford to take another player away from Sam Darnold up front? You know, the Cincinnati Bengals, like, they're falling a little bit out of the race now. They have offensive line game issues to begin with. Could they afford to flip somebody? No, I don't think so. You know, so – you know, the Jaguars are another one. Like, it's just, you look at, like, the teams that would be in position where they might want to move somebody because they're not very good. And even in those situations, you see, like, you know, maybe a young quarterback where it's not fair to that guy to take one of his offensive linemen away. And so I think that the Bears very much are going to be sniffing around for offensive line help. I think that's probably their biggest weakness right now, the biggest problem. You know, so I just don't know where they're going to find it. And then the other position I think that's worth kind of keeping an eye on would be running back. I was surprised, guys, that they didn't make a run at Le'Veon Bell or a stronger run at Le'Veon Bell. I thought that would have been a pretty decent fit based on where they are now. Maybe Bell was always going to Kansas City, but he didn't take very much money to go there. And so I thought it was just at least interesting that the Bears didn't, you know, throw their hat in the ring a little bit stronger than they did. You know, maybe they feel pretty good about where they are with Lamar Miller eventually, you know, making a contribution behind David Montgomery. But I think that that's the other area where you look at it, you say, God, they could really use another piece there.
Albert, make us smarter. What's in your phone? Something that you heard that we don't know.
So, you mentioned the trade deadline. I think the receiver position is going to be active. I've sort of maintained all along that I don't think that I think that there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be just very judicious about adding salary right now, or adding veterans that might need new contracts just because the cap's going to go down next year, right? But I do think that there are some names out there at the receiver position that could be available, and Houston's going to be one place to look. They've got Will Fuller in a contract year. They've got Kenny Stills in a contract year. They've got Brandon Cooks making real money. And so, you know, the Texans are one team that has, you know, lost a lot of draft capital in trading for, you know, Laremy Tunsil a year ago. Could they be somebody where, you know, teams could call on receivers? The Cincinnati Bengals, you know, you could make a call on A.J. Green. The Detroit Lions, you can make a call on Marvin Jones. The New York Giants, you can make a call on Golden Tate. I just mentioned the thing about bad teams, you know, like, can't afford to flip you offensive line help. I do think that there are some bad teams out there that can afford to flip you receiver help. And so that's one position that I sort of have my eye on over the next 2 weeks. Election Day, of course, is a trade deadline. Where I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of see what happens, and you could see some names that, you know, maybe aren't the players that they once were get moved ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, God bless, like, Raheem Morris. I know he wants to be a head coach in this league again, but you don't need to win if you're Atlanta. You trade off your assets and you try to tank.
If you're Atlanta, you might want to lose.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, like that was the one thing that somebody would say. It was funny. I was talking to somebody about the Jets situation. And it's obviously not good there right now. This is an executive with another team, and he said to me, he's like, if I were them, I'd probably just keep Gase, because if things keep going the way they're going, I'm going to wind up with Trevor Lawrence. So, it was a joke, but it's kind of interesting when you look at it, because I think based on the prospect that Trevor Lawrence is going to be, we're going to see a lot of that sort of creativity over the next, you know, couple months. And maybe it winds up manifesting at the trade deadline. Who knows?
You never know. We'll be bothering you. Maybe we'll have to do an emergency interview if the Bears announced they went and got A.J. Green or something like that. Have a great day, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Albert Breer, SI.com, Monday Morning Quarterback, NFL Network. All right, Hoodie, two more well-known broadcasters.
Oh, no.
These are not some local access guys. Put their foot in their mouth in front of a hot mic. Will they never learn? That is next.
Us?
Take that.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So, you were and have been and still do some teaching.
Yes.
One of the first things I was ever taught, and I never took a broadcasting class, but from different bosses, don't ever say anything anywhere in the studio that you would come to regret. Because you don't know if that little on-air light that goes on, it may be on, but it's burned out.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be paying attention. You may have an engineer who goes, I don't like this person. I'm going to get him. And as soon as they hear you start talking about a subject you shouldn't be talking about, up goes the fader.
Yep.
We saw what happened to a guy who's been a great friend of our station, yes. Tom Brenneman.
Yeah.
And last night, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, two guys that have called as high-profile events, especially Joe Buck. This is the mock flyover. They mocked the flyover of the military plane during the Monday night game.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Okay.
What?
Really?
Okay. So it seems like this is how this works, right? That sounds like might have been the satellite feed. People are wondering, was that in the middle of the game? No, it was not.
Correct.
It was before
the
game.
They were at break.
I'm thinking
waiting to come back, or they hadn't even come on yet.
Yeah, no, maybe just the satellite feed, right?
I don't think that never aired.
No, I don't think it did either.
Yeah, it just was
satellite.
Released on social media.
But it was a satellite
yes,
feed.
Correct.
Kind of like the Brenneman thing. That was not on Fox Sports Ohio. It was just kind of like on a satellite feed.
Right, when you are on your headset, Hoodie and I are doing a game. They're at break. You at home are watching an ad for whatever.
Right.
If he and I keep talking, our mics can be heard in the truck.
Yep.
And if you're watching on, not when we say satellite, we don't mean direct TV, but like the old school satellites mm-hmm. that many people still watch TV through, that feed is hot. They can hear everything all the time. They don't see the commercials. And all of a sudden, Hoodie says something to me and I respond. And you're like, what did that guy just say?
Yes.
Like, these guys have got to be smarter than this.
Come on, Jeff. How is this happening still? After our guy Brenneman.
Got your headset on.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
I mean,
that's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Like, I've been, like, doing a lot of research on this morning.
Yeah.
He, like, I think Troy is mocking.
I don't know.
That ain't happening. Partner.
Yeah, where's the partner during the broadcast? I want a little partner with my Aikman.
Never heard him use that term.
Now, as I break it down, and the political stuff, that's not what we're here for. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about two professional A-list broadcasters that are just saying stuff with an open mic. And, like, how does that happen after Brenneman's career has been destroyed? How's that happening?
I think it just goes to show that if you do this long enough, whatever it happens to be, I think people who have microphones or cameras in front of them often, it becomes part of your life where you're like, you know what, I know when I'm not supposed to be on. You know, you kind of have, I think everybody in some sense has probably the version that they put on the air and then the other version that's like hopefully that's close to them. But off the air, there's, you know, the version that publicly they don't want to put out there because everybody has probably had a poor joke that they've said to some friends in, you know, but you would never say publicly on the air. I think this is part of the camaraderie between Buck and Aikman being comfortable with each other, where they're still trying to enjoy, you know, because that, I think, would you guys agree, they have good chemistry, right?
Excellent, sure.
I think part of that is because you hear in that clip we played that they truly do enjoy each other's company. So that lends to good chemistry. The problem is, like you said, Hoodie, when you're in front of an open mic, you should probably be diligent about every word you say.
Yeah, even though that light may say, you know, the on-air is not lit up, you don't know if that bulb's busted.
I mean, just, okay, so Danny was trying to decipher what was sarcastic and what was real in that. That's what you do, Danny. So we do on this show. What's real and what's sarcastic?
Correct. I think they were both being sarcastically real.
I think that...
Explain what that means.
It cost about $60,000 for a flyover.
Mm-hmm.
That stadium was basically empty.
Mm-hmm.
Was that $60,000 well spent? Probably not. So I think what Joe Buck was saying was, although he was saying it in his sarcastic broadcaster voice, what he was saying made sense. Listen, that's a waste of money right there. You're doing a flyover for fuck...
For who?
Hold on.
I was going to say...
Whoa there.
Whoa.
Hey, these mics are on, Danny.
Wow.
I just had
the light is on, Danny.
I just had a Gio Greco Waddle moment. You're doing a flyover.
Well, I never reached for the dump button so fast in my life.
I never had to dump myself before.
It was like Family Feud in here.
I've never had to dump myself.
We were all going for the plunger.
Wow.
My God. Never mind.
Get a hold of yourself, man.
Yeah, I'm passionate about this.
I'm saying the F word. I'm really upset. What are you doing, Danny? Danny!
Our boss is going to come in.
Well, I'm going to tell you my Jerry Springer story.
All right, go on.
They're doing a flyover for 1,500 people spending 60 grand. So I understand Joe Buck saying that, and he said it in his sarcastic broadcaster voice. I don't know Troy Aikman's politics, but it certainly sounded from the way he said it. It was kind of a little like slight at like, oh, the world's in a bad place, but the Biden ticket wouldn't do flyovers for 60 grand.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
I don't know. Aikman could be...
I don't know.
I don't think you can necessarily go to the point of his politics. It's unclear with that clip.
Here's what I need, though. I need more partner from Aikman, and I need Buck to broadcast in that voice. That's what I need.
That's your David Montgomery.
That's what I want.
Do you think they're going to get in trouble for this?
They're going to have to apologize.
Yeah, but no, like, cancellation.
Suspension? Tom Brenneman is on the phone with the Fox executives being like, do you see what they're doing? Bring me back.
I mean, he's got a busy schedule. I don't need Dick Stockton calling my World Series.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Oh!
If Joe, it's the World Series, too, so Joe's not going to be suspended. But if Joe was suspended, would they call Tom back?
Cap. Your guy.
Is Tom Brenneman available to step in for Joe Buck if needed to serve a suspension?
He'll be coming in like Alexander Haig. Yeah. He's just like, I am now in charge.
I've got it covered.
Here he comes.
I just did a quick search.
What does Bro Bible say?
The LA Times did a whole article because Josh Rosen was wearing something political. And it was to the left.
Okay.
And they said, Tom Brady, very good friend of Republican President Donald Trump, Manning and Aikman have donated thousands to the GOP Senate and presidential campaigns. So Troy is mocking at the end with a partner.
Okay. All right. Yeah. See, I didn't know. I'm not familiar with that because I didn't know which way he was leaning with that. I'm just, my whole thing is like, how do you say those things when Brenneman just got fired? That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I don't get it.
I don't know how that happened. I mean, keep in mind, as you do your mic test, your mic check, more than likely, if you say something, it's going to go, if it's not going to be on the air, as you mentioned, maybe some producer says, oh, you guys talk politics up here. How about a little fader action? Eh?
Right.
How about that?
How about when you are doing a game, you and I did a TV game together.
Yeah.
There's a little box in front of you. Mm-hmm. Has two buttons. A red button says cough. And like here, we just turn our mic off.
Yes.
There, you have a headset mic on. You don't have an on-off switch. That's in the truck.
Right.
Well, when I do basketball games, I have a different crew in the truck every game. It's not like we work together all the time. You don't even meet most of them.
Right.
You come in, do the game, and leave. And then you have a button. Hoodie puts his red, cough.
Right.
That's not a fine.
No.
And you hit the white button. It says talk back. And I could talk back to, hey, get me a replay of so-and-so. Hey, get me a shot of the coach. Hey, get me a shot of that referee. Whatever the case may be. I've worked with guys. They hit that talk back button in the middle of the game, and they're saying stuff. You're like, you would never say that on the air.
No.
You can't trust that button.
No. But they did. They just did say what they want. I got a little Patna, and I got a little Brockmeyer from Joe Buck. I want that. Danny, can I get Buck?
Can we get another channel?
How about the fact that those producers or whoever was in that truck, though, couldn't wait to out those guys? Like, that has to say a lot of who they are behind the scenes, right?
Not
always. I would never rush to out a friend or somebody good to me.
Well, they're not friends.
How about Castellanos? What about how he feels about it?
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
I apologize.
By the way, Danny, Lamont Battle says you're a savage.
Listen, I get worked up when it comes to this kind of stuff.
David Allen, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Danny Zetterman channeling his inner Lee Ilya this morning.
Remember when Jerry Springer was a thing? It was a big deal.
Yep.
I was in the late 90s. I was in college. So a bunch of people from college came to Chicago to visit over winter break. And we got tickets to the Jerry Springer show. And we went to the Jerry Springer show. It was filmed on like a Tuesday morning. And it was winter break. And we got stoned to the bejesus.
Yes.
And in the car, I said to them, listen, I'm going to ask a question so I could be on TV on Jerry Springer. So I stood up to ask a question. And Jerry put the mic in front of my mouth. And I start talking. And the two women on the stage start swearing at each other. And they beep like four times. And literally for like 6 months, everyone thought I went on TV and swore. My mom was so mad at me.
So great. So great.
That's so good.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Partner.
Partner. I want that every game. I want some partner.
The Bears. Dominant defense. Or weirdly lucky? That is next.
What's that mean?
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Well, that was a fun segment. Welcome back on the Cap and Jay Hood Show. 312-332-3776.
Danny's so funny.
Danny is hilarious.
The best
man.
Part is I go to the bathroom at the break, and randomly on this beautiful Tuesday, one of the vice presidents of the company is in the building in the hallway. When I do that on the air, and I talk about getting stoned before Jerry Springer. So I got that going for me.
Hey, man. Be you.
Hey, man, that's to me, that's all good karma.
We had your back. We got the dump button ready.
It's good karma. Don't worry about it, pal.
It is good karma.
It is good karma. Don't worry about it, Danny. It's fine.
The Bears, dominant defense, or weirdly lucky?
Let's whiteboard that. What does that mean?
So the fine people at 538.com, the 538 people, Joshua Hermsmeyer.
He's an NFL analyst for 538. He breaks down numbers. He's a really good guy if you're into analytics.
That's really his name.
Have you met him, Danny?
No, I have not met him.
How do you know he's a good guy then? He might be a serial killer.
I said, listening is a skill. I said he's a good guy if you're into analytics.
Right.
So, like, he's a good person to follow or read if you're an analytical type person like Meller, Carmen, Chris Black.
I heard you say he's a good guy. He's into analytics. And I went, you don't know if he's a good guy. Maybe he is. I hope for his sake he is a good guy.
Well, that's how we determine whether you're good or not, Cap. You're a bad guy because you're not into analytics.
Oh!
I'm into analytics.
What?
No. I like analytics, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
See? You added the caveat. Bad guy. Not into analytics.
Bad guy.
Not fake, the be-all, fake end-all.
Guy. Fake analytics guy. I'm into analytics, but they're not the be-all, end-all. Fake no, analytics guy.
There is room for scouting in today's game.
Nobody says there's not.
Well, that's not all. Doesn't all go into analytics.
Analytics are just numbers.
And they don't tell the whole story.
Nobody says they do. Nobody ever said they did. Analytics people get painted in a corner because they try and disprove scouts who just tell you gut feel is good.
JR, put that on the poll, please, at Cap J Hood. Analytics, bad guy, good guy.
Yeah.
You're a good guy or bad guy?
Like I said.
Analytics
tell part of the story.
If you're anti-analytics, good guy, bad guy.
Tongue twister.
Oh, no. I'm having a series of small strokes.
So back to Mr. Hermsmeyer, Danny's buddy, from 538.
Yeah.
The Bears' defense has not been dominant. They're sixth in yards per play allowed, which is good. It does not explain that 5-1 record. They've just been weirdly lucky, and it's why I think they're the most fraudulent 5-win team in the league. Small group, but still.
Okay. All right. So from his numbers, that's what he sees.
Correct.
You know what I see? I see a dominant or lucky or opportunistic defense that finds a way to be able to make plays. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, if you think if they're lucky, weirdly lucky, okay, well, that's part of it. That's part of the formula to win. See, you for whatever reason in sports, when you say someone is lucky, it comes across as some negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Or you're just lucky to win. No, we just won. There is no caveat. Or there's nothing in the standings when you open up the paper that says win, in parentheses, L.
Correct.
Lucky. No. Win is a win.
Did you win or did you lose?
That's all.
Period.
Now, the argument always is, and Jeff always brings this up, right? It's about sustainability.
Correct.
That's all.
Correct.
Like what you're seeing right now through the first six games, will you be able to do that the next six? But in the NFL, you take it one game at a time, and you find out, are you going to get better, the same, or worse? That's all.
Okay, so our friend Adam Johns, you know my friend Adam?
I know your friend
Wonderful
Adam.
Person.
Great columnist for The Athletic.
Do you know his father-in-law is like a spinning image of Jim Hendry? I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Anyway, Bears defense 2018 versus 2020.
Yeah.
I just have crazy things that pop in my head. Bears defense 2018 versus 2020. Points allowed per game in 2018 at this point.
Yeah.
22.3. This year, 19.3. 3 points better. Rushing yards allowed per game. This year, 113, then 87. Net passing yards, 263 then, 224 this year. And I can keep going. 99.9% of the statistical breakdowns say 2020, albeit through six games, through the same six games in 2018, 2020 is a better defensive team.
You know, that's interesting because the narrative is that the Fangio defense is a lot better than the Pagano defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the narrative.
Right.
So here's when it comes to analytics. I use what I want to use, and the rest, if I don't need it, I don't use it. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
I still trust my eyes, and I trust those that played the game that I could just have a text to or watch a television show that watch it, and I can trust their eyes too.
Correct. What are you
saying?
Out there. Correct. Like passer rating, the Bears this year, passer rating allowed through six games, second in the NFL. Back then, through six games, they were 10th in the NFL. Takeaways, 13th this year, second in 2018, which is where they made their living, was on takeaways.
Well, I was literally before you brought that point up, that's what I was thinking. Was the reason the 2018 defense was thought of as so dominant was because, what, they have 37 takeaways?
Yep.
Like,
and seven touchdowns.
Like, I'm sorry. Like it's great to stop. Yes, we want to stop the offense. That's the obviously what you're doing as a defense. But more so in this version of football, you want your defense to create turnovers because that's the game. It's catered to the offense.
How many have they had taken away from them? Eddie Jackson's had two touchdowns taken away.
Yes.
How many have we had?
It was a penalty. You can say it's taken away, but it was a penalty.
You're talking about this week or the previous one?
The first one was a penalty.
Correct. And this week is the one they got Kyle Fuller, which I didn't think was a penalty.
Yeah.
But it's still a penalty.
Oh, yeah, still a penalty, yeah. But
correct. But what I'm saying is you had the takeaways. You can argue whether it was a penalty or not. Those were takeaways.
Oh, they don't count as takeaways.
In granular detail, correct. You could also, with a keen eye, look at the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who the Bears have played. Now, that tells a story as well. This is why Jeff and many look at the Bears and say, I'm not sure if this is real or not. Is this something that is sustainable throughout the next four games or five games? I get that. I get it. But look at the schedule. The Bears beat who they're supposed to beat. That's one thing. Those numbers tell me that the defense is pretty solid.
Yeah.
So the idea that they're weirdly lucky, maybe there is no numbers for that. There's no stats for that. But lucky or not, they're winning the games.
Yeah. And we 312-332-3776. Red zone defensive percentage, 2018, they were 15th. 2020, they're number one. Third down percentage conversion, 13th in 2018 through six games, second right now. We'll get into more of this with you. 312-332-3776.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sport.
ESPN 1000.
VIP. Let's kick it. Oh, no. Let's not.
I don't pick the music, kid.
No, I know who picks the music around here.
Danny?
No.
Dan Zetterman, the newsman?
Not him. No. I wish he did.
Strauss?
I wish he did.
Meller?
I wish Meller did.
Merkin?
Nope.
Mike Thomas?
Mike Thomas, yes. Yeah. His music is offensive to me.
Are you saying Mike Thomas has bad music taste?
I didn't say that. His music is a little offensive. A little too bassy for AM. Wow. I mean, come on, brother. God almighty.
So I want to go back to a couple things here.
It's terrible. Ice.
When we have our meeting.
Oh, it's fine. He knows how I feel. That's not new. That's not a new take.
Mike, he finds your music distasteful.
It did not. Well, yeah, I have said that.
Distasteful or offensive? Which one do you want me to use?
Yes. There he is. In a full mask.
There you go.
Hey, I mean, listen.
I, for one, love the music selection.
He knows how I feel.
What does it say? I got his playlist by following him on Spotify.
Oh, well, good.
Guys, when I list Mike's strength, it takes me at least 10 to get to the music, but it's definitely up there in his top 10 strength.
Yeah, you already dropped an F-bomb on me here. You're in trouble anyway.
No, it's fine. You know, his idea of diversity is playing Bust a Move. It's great.
No, wow. 50 Cent Candy Shop. In 2020, we're playing 50 Cent Candy Shop.
I was in Boston. It was fine. Yeah, you worked in Boston. That's why it's fine. Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Let's go to Pete's in Shorewood.
He loves that.
Hey, Pete, what's up, Sparky?
All right, listen. I listen to you guys all the time, and I think you're great. Man. I don't want you to get on the bandwagon with those two morons running their mouth. Every time a plane goes up in the air, it's a mission. It doesn't matter if it's over a stadium or out there, maybe over the Gulf of Mexico or over to wherever they are. It's the pilot's got to go up and down so much or he's not current. He can't fly the plane. So it's not what everybody's making it out to be, a waste of money.
Who's everybody? It was just the soundbite. Do you agree or disagree with Aikman and Buck? And I don't even know if they were being for real, Pete. I actually have no idea.
Yeah, they may have been just mocking the whole thing.
I have no idea.
Okay, no, I disagree because, what the comment that was made, $60,000 out the window to fly over an open, empty stadium. That man's got to go up in the air and has to stay current in the plane. It doesn't matter where he goes. So bum rapping the government or the Air Force for doing it or whatever is wrong. Because my credentials, I didn't fly. My kid did over 20. He was a pilot, retired a lieutenant colonel, and now he's an instructor pilot on a simulator for the Air Force.
Do you think Buck and Aikman should be fired for what they said?
Or
I don't think they should be fired, but they should keep their political views to themselves. When I listen to sports, I want to hear sports.
Yep.
I can go to the TV on a cable news channel for my political stuff.
Pete, thanks, man. Appreciate you listening.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you, Pete.
You too. Have a good day. 312-332-3776. This, again, was what we were talking about. Last night, they had their headsets on or they had their mic on, and they were not yet on the air.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Partner.
I don't know.
That is mocking. Come on.
I don't know. They just, but you got to know better. I mean, their own colleague was let go because his mic was hot.
Yeah, he was the number two to Buck.
So now you just got to just.
Come on.
I mean.
Just stay out of it.
Don't destroy your career by doing silly stuff like that.
Just talk football. Come on.
Or just take your headphones off if you're going to make that comment.
Yeah, walk in the lunchroom.
You know, you just take your headphones off. You know, you turn your mic off and you say, that's your hard-earned money.
Right.
That's all. You don't do it all. I know they're probably waiting to go on or whatever like that, but just like, dude, you just know every time you turn that.
Don't be that comfortable with a microphone that can ruin your career.
That's all.
Right in your face.
Yes.
Crazy.
That was from Sunday's game. They did both games, the Packers-Bucks game.
Correct.
Just want to.
Correct.
Factual.
Thank you. Let's go to Keith. Keith's down in Quantico, Virginia.
Oh,
hey,
my
Keith.
God.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for calling me and Harry Carey this morning. Good God Almighty! Clear it up for God's sake. Gurgling. Jeez.
Pull through the phlegm.
My God.
But what about the pitching?
Well, my God, CBD is quality today. Go ahead, Keith.
All right, so here we go. Going back to the Bucks game. Right, we're talking about luck. So. Brady failing on that last drive, that was pure luck, right? We all sat with our collective breath held until he screwed that up because we know what does he do? Well, he marches the ball down and makes you pay, and when he didn't, we all breathed a sigh of relief, right? That was pure luck, that win.
Mm-hmm.
Second comment goes back to our previous caller. He's absolutely right. Those flights are bought and paid for. I have 30 years in the application of air power, and I'll tell you what, those were bought and paid for long before that game ever occurred. Those are training missions. They happen when on the weekend because who flies them mostly? The Air National Guard, Air Reserve. So here's my question. What does success look like for the Bears at the end of this year? Are we happy if they're a six-loss team and they lose in the first round of the playoffs? Are we happy if, and we consider it a successful season if the offense improves and the defense stays healthy and where they are? So we talked a lot. You talked a little bit about expectations earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
What are your expectations, and how do you define success for the Bears at the end of the season?
Keith, we appreciate
it. That's a great question.
All right, well,
thanks, Keith.
It's always this way for me. Like, the top of the rung is a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The next before that is getting to the Super Bowl. The top is winning the Super Bowl. Then before that's getting to the Super Bowl. Before that's getting into the playoffs. The Bears are going to ring that bell for the playoffs. Got a good feeling, especially with the extra playoff. I think, Cap, they're going to get to the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's very likely, right?
Correct.
So that's a rung on the ladder of success there. Getting to the playoffs. Now, it's what they do in the playoffs will tell the story. But the playoffs is part of the success story for the Bears. You go 8-8 back to the playoffs, that's a positive.
No, okay, for me to go 9-7, 10-6
playoffs
and lose in the first game, that would not be for me any kind of a modicum of success. I saw 12-4 out in the first round, albeit you missed a kick, but Mitch didn't play well for three quarters. So the offense gave you 15 points. That was an 18. Last year you go 8-8. You have bad offensive line. You got no tight ends. Your quarterback plays bad. He's injured.